John chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, Jesus said at verse 1, I am the true or genuine vine, and my Father is the farmer. The Greek word is literally the earth worker, the person who tends the vineyard. Every branch in me, that's a term. We've got two terms that we're making comparison to. The first term is in me, and the second term is abiding in me. The first term in me that we just read has to do with all of Israel being in God or in Messiah. Versus abiding in me is personal relationship, and we'll show you the differences between the two. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he removes. And every branch bearing fruit, he cleanses it, purpose, in order that it might produce or bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean on account of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear or produce fruit from itself, very specific in the Greek text, from itself alone, except or if not it should abide in the vine, neither can you, neither are you able, if you should not abide in me. Excuse me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one abiding, notice the translation, participle. The one abiding in me and I in him. This one is producing much fruit. Not should produce, but it's fact. The one continually abiding in the Lord is producing much fruit. Because without me, notice choris, the Greek word, it means apart from me, separate from me, you are not able to do one thing. Literal translation. If anyone should not abide in me, this one was cast out. Notice the aorist passive. It's already done. This one was cast out as a branch is cast out and was withered or dried up. And they are gathering them together and they are casting them or throwing them into the fire and it is being burned. If you should abide in me and my words should abide in you, you will ask what things that you would desire, and it will be done to you. In this my Father was glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will become disciples to me. Verse 9, according as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Continue, more literally, abide, that's a command, in my love. If you should keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept the commandments of my Father, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, in order that my joy, notice verse 11, is not the joy of me, but it's mine. The joy that is mine. It's an adjective, not a personal pronoun. In other words, it's the joy that belongs to Christ. Not possessively, but as substance. It's the Lord's joy. It's not ours. So he says, these things I have spoken to you, purpose, in order that my joy, that is the joy that is mine, might abide in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Notice the translation. In order that you should love one another. That's not the command, that's the purpose. according as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14. You are my friends if you should do whatever I am commanding to you. No longer I call you servants. The word servants is doulos for slave. No longer I call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his Lord is doing. But I called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. So right in the middle of this discourse, we have these four sections. The first section is verses 1 through 4. The vine's relationship with the Father, or in this case, the husbandman, the farm worker. Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the genuine vine. The reason why he brings up the term genuine in relation to the vine is because Israel in the Old Testament was referred to as the vine. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, it's called the Song of the Vine, where God is mentioning and noticing his vine, which he planted, and that this vine was protected, and God would tear it down because it brought forth wild grapes instead of the proper grapes. Also in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, God talked about the vineyard that he had planted that did not bring forth the proper fruit. And so the vineyard had to be rooted up. So in the Old Testament, the vineyard and the vines are applied and used to illustrate Israel and God's relationship with Israel. Jesus now comes and he says, I am the genuine vine. Not the symbolic one, but I am the genuine vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the worker of the vineyard. So two things with verse 2. Every branch in me, as if you say that you're in the vine, Jew and Gentile, is not bearing, notice the participle, is not bearing fruit. The Father, who is the vine dresser, he removes it. He takes it away. Secondly, and every branch bearing fruit, again the participle, showing continuous action, he cleanses it. The purpose, in order that it might bring forth or produce more fruit. The reason why the term cleansing is used is because in Palestine it was customary to spray the vines, much like what we do with malathion, to spray plants and trees to kill off the aphids and the various insects and even disease that's affecting the plants. So in Palestine they would spray. It's kind of interesting because killing off the insects, killing off those things that would keep the vine from growing and maturing, the Father sprays in order that for the purpose that it might produce or bring forth more fruit. Verse 3 tells us the cleansing process, spiritually now applied. He says, now you are clean on account of the word which I have spoken unto you. Lelalicha, for I have spoken, is a perfect tense verb. And it means that all this while that the Lord was speaking to his disciples, his word was cleansing their heart. In Psalm 119, I think it's verse 9, where the psalmist asks, how shall a young man cleanse his way? He says, by observing, taking heed unto his word. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, in order that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word." In the scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, the water was used as a symbol for the Word of God and its cleansing action. When we gather around God's Word, if it's under the inspiration of God's Spirit cleanses us, washes us. The Lord says to the disciples that they had already. Already you are clean. Eide means already. You are clean on account of the word which I have spoken unto you. Then the command in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Remember, we've been focusing on this word abide or dwelling. Back in chapter 14, Jesus, at the beginning, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many abiding places." And we showed you in context, the Lord is talking about people. Not some kind of a state in heaven, but actually we are the dwelling places. That the Father and the Son are going to come and dwell with us and will be in us. We are the dwelling place. So Jesus says, abide or dwell in me, and I in you. As the branch is not able to produce fruit from itself, so you just take a branch off of a tree and hold it there, what is it going to do? It's going to die. Because you have detached it from its source of nutriment and life. He says, as a branch is not able to produce fruit from itself, if it should not abide in the vine, neither you are able if you should not abide in me. Now the relationship, and this is verses 5 through 8, the relationship between the vine and the branches. We've had the relationship between the vine and the farmer, or the vine dresser. He cleanses, he prunes, and he does it through the Word of God. Therefore, the one who is abiding in the Lord is in him, and Christ is in him. Now the relationship between the vine and the branches. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one abiding, it's a present participle, continuous state, continuous relationship. The one abiding in me, and I in him, this one is producing much fruit. Statement of fact. A person cannot be continually abiding in Christ and not bearing fruit. Because it's the very Spirit of Christ that lives within them. He didn't say the branch should produce fruit, says the branch is. Can a branch be attached to the tree and not bear fruit? Yes. A branch can be in the tree, but the question is it abiding in the tree? A branch can be in the vine and not producing fruit. Abiding in the vine, in technical terms, is different than just being in the vine. We cut the dead branches off and toss them, just like Jesus said the Father would do. The reason why, he presents the reason why the branch is producing fruit is because he says, apart from me, you are not able to produce one thing. That's the reason. So if Christ is abiding in us and we are abiding in him, we are producing much fruit. Because separate from him, we're not able to do that. So if a person is not bearing fruit, they are apart from Christ. If a person is bearing fruit, it's because they are abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in them. So it's not really a work ethic here. It's not really a, are you producing the fruit? We can't produce the fruit. In context, what Jesus is saying, at the end of verse 5 is without him, we're not able to produce fruit. We can't produce fruit. Apart from Him, we can't produce one thing. But abiding in Him and He in us, He produces the fruit. He says in verse 6, if anyone should not abide in Me, this one was cast out as a branch and was withered or dried up. And they are gathering them together, and they are casting them into the fire, and it, that is the bundle, is being burned. So again, the casting out, the application of the farmer coming and cutting out the branches that are not bearing fruit. Now the application to the branches is that the false message is don't get caught not bearing fruit because you get cut off. The context is saying the one who is abiding in Christ is producing fruit. You can't lose your relationship with the Lord, and you can't lose producing fruit as long as Christ is in you. That's the question. But if somebody is not abiding in Him, again, continuous action, continuous relationship. If a person is not abiding in Him, he was cast out. Taken off, withered, put in a stack of sticks and allowed to dry out, then cast into a fire and the whole stack is set on fire. Verse 7 says, if you should abide in Me, and if My words should abide in you, you will ask whatever you should desire, and it will be done to you. In context, what verse 7 is saying is if I abide in you and if My words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it'll be done. Why? Because the asking will be according to the abiding of Christ and according to His word. Anything we ask according to His word, He will do it. In this My Father was glorified, in order that you should bear or produce much fruit. And you will become disciples to Me. A disciple is somebody who is a branch. A disciple is somebody who is a vessel through which or through whom the Spirit of God is bearing fruit. And it's so that the Father may be glorified. That's the purpose of it all. Verse 9 now, verses 9 through 12, we go back and retrace our steps. This now parallels the first phase, verses 1 through 4, the vine's relationship with the Father, as we now seek the bearing of fruit. Notice what he says, verse 9, according as the Father loved Me, I also loved you. Here's the command, and you've got to remember this if you're able to underline in your Bibles. This is the command coming up later in explanation. He says, continue or remain in My love. The word continue or remain is the word abide. Abide in My love. That's the command. Continually stay in His love. He just got through saying that according as the Father loved the Lord has loved us. So He says, abide in My love. If you should keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. According as I have kept My Father's commandments, or the commandments of My Father, and I am abiding in His love. So obedience is imperative in a relationship with the Lord. Later we will see the Lord say, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Chapter 14, verse 15, he says it again. If you should love Me, keep My commandments. Love is parallel to obeying. Love is the motive for obeying. There isn't any other motive other than love. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out fear. that we did not love him first, but he loved us. What that means is love that has been brought to maturity obeys the Lord because of love for him, not out of fear for him. Some people religiously obey the codes, religious codes and the things of God out of fear because something's going to happen to them if they don't. Other people obey him out of love. They want to do what the Lord wants that person to do. I've made the statement before and I'll make it again. What and whom we love the most is who we're going to serve. We will make our decisions based upon who and what we love the most. And if we're more concerned about what people think, if we're more concerned about what we want to do, our love is for ourselves and our love is for pleasing other people more than it is in pleasing Christ. It is difficult to obey the Lord because there are consequences that we suffer from other people. But out of love for Christ, it's obedience out of love, and whatever consequences come, we're gladly willing to suffer, Jesus, just as Jesus suffered for us. So he says, if you should keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I am abiding in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And notice he's saying, this is my joy, not the joy of me. It's not the joy that he possessed, but it is the joy, his joy as a source. Greek concept is completely different than English concept. The Greek concept of joy is satisfaction. We use the term joy in the term of happiness, meaning the flesh is happy at a certain moment. The flesh is joyous at a certain moment. It's, in English, it's equivalent to an emotional high. But in Greek, it shows an inner satisfaction. The satisfaction is the Lord's satisfaction, not ours. And our satisfaction is being satisfied with him, not with what he does for us or how things turn out. Joy is the fruit that he's mentioning. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment. Now what follows is not the commandment. I already told you what the commandment is as far as diagramming goes. The commandment is up in verse 9. Remain in my love. This is my commandment, and now the purpose. In order that you should love one another according as I loved you. See, if you don't diagram and if you don't understand sentence structure according to the original language, you misinterpret everything from an English standpoint. Most commentaries will tell you that the command is that you should love one another, but it's not a command. It's not imperative. It's hina with a subjunctive mood, in order that you should love. We've seen it before. Why is it repeated? Why is it not a command? It's because it's a purpose. By abiding in Christ, we will experience his joy and we will experience his love. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that anyone should lay down his life for his friends. And now verses 13, 14, and 15, he's moving into the second phase, which parallels the second phase, the vine's relationship with the branches. He says, greater love has no one than anyone should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, verse 14, if you should do what things I am commanding you. What is the command? Remain. Abide. And so he says, you are my friends, talking to the disciples. No longer I call you slaves, verse 15, the doulos, because a slave does not know what his Lord is doing. So his Lord just tells him things that he doesn't understand, doesn't know why, he's just told to do it. But I called you friends, because all things that I heard from my Father I made known to you. So Jesus is saying to them, you're no longer my slaves, my servants. You're friends. The slave just gets commanded what to do. Doesn't understand. But he says, I made known to you the commands and the words that I've received from my Father. I'm sharing that amongst friends. Will they serve him? Yes. But they will serve him as friends because he has let them in on the understanding and comprehension behind the commandments. What is the understanding and comprehension? He is the vine. We are the branches. By abiding in him and he in us, we are producing much fruit. What is the fruit? The joy and the love of Christ. And the reason why we are remaining in him is in order that we should love one another. But you see, it's not our love. When Jesus says that it's his joy and it's his love, he's using the adjective, mine. My joy. If my love abides in you. Not the love of me that I possess, but my love is a source. And Jesus is saying, I am the joy, I am the love. That parallels 1 John chapter 4, where it says, God is love. Love is not an action, love is a person, his nature. So when I'm encouraged to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not an action, it's a person. The Lord is saying, give your brothers and sisters in Christ the Lord. His care, his concern. The Lord's ministry to the people. I, as a person, I do not have those abilities. I do not have those qualities. I am not commanded to produce fruit. I am commanded to abide in the vine. And it'll be the Lord's joy and the Lord's love that is produced as fruit. And the purpose of it is to glorify the Father. How is the Lord's fruit glorifying the Father? Earlier we saw Jesus say that he is glorified in the Father, so that when people see the Father, they're seeing the Son. When people see the fruit of God's Spirit, they're seeing the very glory of God himself. Not just part of the Godhead, but all of the Godhead. Next week, we get into the great verses. Listen to this. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What does that mean? Is that predestination? Does that mean the disciples didn't have a choice? That he chose them? We'll get into that next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand the relationship and the process. Help us to understand from Paul's words in Romans chapter 11 that the Jews were natural branches, but we as Gentiles have been grafted in, and those that were in the vine have been cut off if they do not abide in the vine. They do not have the life of the vine in them. Help us to understand this relationship, that it is the life of your Spirit that produces the fruit. And this is the purpose, that as we're pruned and as we're washed and as you deal with us, you're cutting away the deadwood areas so that we might produce more fruit. Help us to submit to this pruning process. Help us also, Lord, to understand the purpose of it all, It might be for your glory, that others might see God in us. Others might see your fruit, which you are bearing in us. And we're so thankful that we are your children, that you make known to us the things of the Father, that you reveal to us by your Spirit the mysteries of Christ, so that we can be family members, not just religious robots. Help us by your Spirit to understand this relationship, how you function in us and for its purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.